298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A government shutdown now underway. At midnight, money ran out to keep the doors open, meaning hundreds of thousands of federal workers are now on furlough with no pay. Most of the wrangling is going on in the Senate, says ABC's Lana Moise.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune is working to get Democrats to cross party lines to get the 60 votes needed to keep the government funded for 7 more weeks. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer standing firm with the Democrats, demanding cuts to Medicaid be restored and demanding Obamacare tax credits be extended to prevent millions of Americans' insurance premiums from going up.
President Trump telling the nation top military generals on Tuesday they should use U.S. cities as training grounds for U.S. troops. 16 more people killed in Gaza airstrikes as Hamas continues weighing the 20-point peace plan put forth this week. At least 69 people killed during an earthquake in the central Philippines. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging hunters to share their passion for the sport with the next generation during this year's Youth Deer Hunt. The annual event will be held on October 11th and 12th, offering hunters 15 and younger the chance to learn hunting techniques in a less crowded environment than the traditional 9-day gun deer hunt season. Youth hunters will be eligible to hunt under a mentor's supervision. Mentors must be at least 18 years old, have a current license, and have completed a hunter education course. The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau is encouraging residents to take advantage of the services it offers following severe weather occurrences. Organization officials say scams are becoming increasingly common in the wake of severe weather and natural disasters as scammers seek to take advantage of struggling residents. They're encouraging residents to visit their Natural Disaster HQ webpage to learn about some common post-storm scams like contractors offering quick fixes, price gouging for high-demand items, or disaster relief fundraising campaigns. The City of Duluth is seeking feedback from the community on city services and priorities. City officials opened a survey last week in partnership with the University of Minnesota Duluth and the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. Their goal is to gather feedback from residents to inform future investments and policy decisions. Any Duluth resident aged 18 or older is invited to participate in the survey, which can be found online. Responses in the survey are confidential and only one response is allowed per resident. Washburn County is seeking applicants to serve as the new zoning administrator. According to a press release, the zoning administrator will be responsible for enforcing county zoning ordinances and other state and federal regulations, including subdivision control, floodplain zoning, and private wastewater treatment system regulations. The position also involves issuing permits as well as assisting and educating residents about the zoning code. More information on the position and the application can be found on the Washburn County website. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers warming up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers worked out at AmFam Field as they wait to find out who they'll play Saturday. The Cubs beat the Padres 3-1 in game one of their best-of-three game wildcard series. Brewers catcher William Contreras had another MRI on his left hand that's bothered him all season, manager Pat Murphy.
You're not going to be able to keep William out no matter what the analysis is of that injury. He's going to play.
NFL, Matt LaFleur on what went wrong in the final minute in overtime that led to the Packers settling for a tie with the Cowboys.
When we're not in two-minute mode and then you jump into two-minute mode, everybody on the field has to know that. And we were operating more of our, you know, no huddle tempo, which isn't warp speed. It's a bad look, quite honestly. And it's just the communication and process have got to be cleaned up because we can't allow that ever to happen again.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my God.
goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the big house to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.5 FM, 1260 AM, WLAK.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning, and are you prepared to hear this? Wednesday morning, October 1st, 2025. We have flipped the calendar. We are in the fourth quarter of the year. Christmas carols are not that far off. Well, temperatures in the upper 80s are actually closer than that, thanks to a really unusually warm week that we're having here. So listen for forecast details throughout the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But yeah, we made it to October, and I appreciate you being here from wherever you're spending your mornings up north listening to us, whether it's on the radio or through social media. Through podcast, it's great to have you starting your day right here. I do have another question for you. Are you ready for a new member of Congress from Wisconsin, specifically from up north? I know we've spent a lot of time talking about some of the other congressional districts in Wisconsin that may be at play in 2026, but there's going to be an open seat up north in the very large 7th congressional district where the incumbent Republican Tom Tiffany has decided to run for governor. So that's going to open things up. A lot of people have been talking about running for Congress up in northern Wisconsin in the 7th District, and we are going to break a little news about that at 8:35 this morning. So you're going to want to stick around till then, or you're going to want to come on back. Better yet, you can also have this with you all the time as a podcast. Head over to Spotify and sign up and follow us. And again, we'll be breaking a little news about the 7th Congressional District 2026 election coming up in our final half hour together on this Wednesday morning. Also coming up along the way, we are going to be talking about, of course, the federal government shutting down, which is exactly what Donald Trump and others who really don't like the government are doing. What do I always say? People who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. And we are full of people right now who do not like our government, who do not like the services that it provides, and are slashing and burning their way to tax cuts for the super wealthy at the expense of all kinds of healthcare, nutrition, farm, education, and other programs. And the thing is, they're still making up stuff about it, somehow making it sound like it's not their fault, even though they're the ones who control the House, they control the Senate, they control the White House, and yet somehow they can't pass a federal budget. And that's why we're shut down. It's pretty much by design. And by the way, this is not just at the federal government level. There are state government programs that have gone away. And again, Republicans are trying to blame anybody but themselves for it. For example, we recently had the closure of two facilities in the state, including one here in Chippewa Falls, that take care of homeless veterans and provide them with resources to get back on their feet and to get a permanent roof over their heads. And Republicans in the legislature zeroed that out of the budget, and yet somehow want to claim that it's not their fault that these programs came to an end. And by the way, Congressman Derek Van Orden could have done something about it at the federal level, and he chose not to. So we'll tell you all about that coming up this morning. We will also get to meet an hour from now Ellie Bordeaux. Ellie is the newest member of the team here at Up North News. She puts together our weekday morning newsletter. She's from Oconomowoc originally and is going to tell us all about her story and what it is she wants to do to make sure that the Up North News daily newsletter is appointment reading for all of you when you find it in your mailbox. And we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff in our climate check segment during our 8 o'clock hour about the Trump administration announcing this week they are going all in, a massive investment of your tax dollars in coal, in bringing coal back to prominence. I don't know how many of you have houses old enough to have a coal chute where you have to shovel coal into your furnace, but you might need to consider building one, because that's the direction this administration wants to go in. So we'll talk to Melissa about that along the way. Also along the way, we'll have your comments and questions if you care to share them. Many ways to do it. You can head into the comment sections of Facebook and YouTube for Up North News or for Civic Media. Better yet, get that Civic Media app and use the text feature and send us a note that way, or use the voice note feature and record a little note for us, and we may play it back as well. And producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2 tells us that the phones are once again functional in Studio A2. Good morning, Mr. Olson. Can you confirm?
I can confirm. Just give me a second to remember to do the thing that makes it positive that they work every morning.
Okay. Apparently he's got to talk sweetly to it or something to make sure that it works properly.
Essentially, yes. We've discovered that for whatever reason, they're a little temperamental.
And we still believe this is the 855-75 Civic phone number?
We do believe so. Yes.
We do believe so. Okay. We do believe. I haven't used that number for so long. Let's see if I can do it from muscle memory here. 855-75 Civic, 855-752-4842. Ooh, hey, he did it. Oh, so if you'd like to give that a go and Parker picks up and you tell him what you want to call about, there's a chance that he puts you on hold. He lets me know all about it. And then we get to talking about maybe the shutdown, who you think is to blame or how we get out of this. Do Democrats end up caving in the end and giving up on trying to reinstate some of the health care cuts that Republicans made earlier this year? Or do Republicans feel the pressure and restore some of those health care cuts that they made earlier this year? Or you might want to go in a different direction altogether and, say, talk baseball, where there were 4 baseball games yesterday in the wild card round. Did you see any of them, Mr. Olson?
I had them all on at some point. I did not watch any of them very intently.
Yeah, that's my way. Yeah, it was wallpaper for me. It was in the background when I could watch the TV, and I'll tell that story in a second here. But for folks who didn't see, the Cubs defeated the Padres 3-1. The Detroit Tigers defeated Cleveland 2-1. The Red Sox defeated the Yankees 3-1. And then late last night, the Dodgers stomped all over the Cincinnati Reds 10-5. So in all cases, now again, these are 3-game series all in the same ballpark, and they're best 2 out of 3. So later today, the Cubs, the Tigers, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers could advance to the National League Division Series. Or the Padres, the Guardians, the Yankees, the Reds could all tie it and force a deciding third game on Thursday. We're all watching the Cubs and Padres because it's the winner of that series that comes to American Family Field come Saturday to kick off the National League Division Series. And I, for one, Parker, I'm very happy to have a couple of days off here for the Brewers to get healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, I think so. I think they could use a little bit of health gathering, if you could call it that.
Mm-hmm. A little recuperation.
Recouping, yeah. I would like a little more energy would be nice with the bats particularly.
Yes. Tony on YouTube. How dare you suggest Cleveland loses today? I did not suggest. It's possible. It could happen, Tony. It's baseball. What did they say? That's why you play the game. is to find out who's going to advance on this. But
sports
anyway,
are much more fun on the field than they are on paper.
Yeah. So I mentioned that sometimes I could watch TV yesterday. Sometimes I could not because somebody from Spectrum came in and I almost made him faint when I showed him our setup down behind the, you know, the ceiling and the basement and everything. At one point, he's going through so many cords and he pulls this mess of coax out that I'm showing Parker now. It's all attached to some kind of an amplifier device. And he's like,
how long is that?
You don't need this anymore. He just hands it to me and says, here, can you throw this away? I'm like, okay, it's a splitter. It's a power source. It's a big old fashioned coax cable.
Yeah.
And then he took something else out of there. You have to keep in mind, we've been in that house for 30 years and we've had the cable has been run to different outlets in different rooms over the years.
Oh, sure.
As we've changed things around, but nothing's ever been taken out. It's only been added. So, I mean, we look like an old fashioned, you know, telephone switchboard down there in the basement. And that poor fella had to figure out why occasionally we were having internet hiccups.
Because he got too much crap that it's got to go through.
It's a little counterproductive to try to do a radio show if your internets aren't working all the time. And yet there were no Spectrum outages in the area. So we finally had to have a tech come out and he looked up around down there. He's like, I think I can find the problem. And he did. He found that in one case, again, the old style coax cables, you know, they're kind of rigid. They're a little flexible, but they're not supposed to bend at 90 degrees.
No.
And one of them was real close to that because so many other cables and things had been bunched up in there, putting pressure on it. And so he switched that out and he removed this amplifier thing that he said we didn't need anymore because, again, we date back to analog signals and not digital signals. Oh. I know I sound like, again, like I'm burning coal in the furnace down in the basement here, but it wasn't that terribly long ago that we had the latest technology. It was analog technology, but it was the latest analog technology.
It was high tech at the time.
Yes, it was high techy tech. So, you know, we did a little cleaning up down there, shall we say. Now there's more cleanup to do because that involved removing a lot of the ceiling tiles, the fake ceiling, so Trinette's. So everything's kind of in the rafters down there in the basement, but we'll get it all put back. And it still looks clean enough up above the ceiling tiles and below, of course, the main floor. Sure. And I say that because we had the worst experience once with the false ceiling in the basement.
Did a raccoon fall through?
It led to a moment of horror for any homeowner.
A raccoon fell through.
Close. We were noticing that every so often we'd see, and this is a few years back now, we'd see a wasp and we'd kill it. And then we'd see another wasp. Mm. We'd kill that. And pretty soon we're noticing, like, we have a lot of wasps here, you know?
Those don't like it in houses.
Yeah. And then I went downstairs and I noticed, there's quite a few in that room. It's a guest bedroom now. It used to be a kid's playroom.
That's a terrible place for a guest bedroom if it's got a lot of wasps.
Yeah. The guests are not going to want to come there. I thought, well, how is this happening? So I start to move one of the ceiling tiles with a broomstick because I don't want to get too close.
All of a sudden.
And I see something so horrific. It made me want to both scream and vomit at the same time. You know that space between the rafters, between the floor joists, whatever they're called there, you got about 16 inches between them?
Yeah.
Was a wasp nest about 6 feet long.
Oh my God.
By that 16 inches or whatever. What had happened was there used to be a dryer vent. Again, as we're moving things around, we had moved the dryer vent at one point, sure. Thought we had sealed the hole well enough, had not.
Oh.
And over a period of months and months, wasps had built a wasp nest that was, 5 to 6 feet long above the false ceiling in our basement. We had to call in professionals who were like, you're going to need to leave the house for a little while here. And bug bomb that place and clean it all up. And we haven't had a problem since, but you know what a wasp nest, I mean, it's not a nice little bee's nest, but look at the little honeycomb.
Yeah. No,
you know,
those
wasp
are like...
nest looks kind of like an alien.
It's a fortress.
Know, that alien skin or something.
Yeah.
It is horrific. And you see this thing and as you see it, it's getting longer and larger and larger. And it was like a horror movie. And I go upstairs. I'm like, we are going to have to leave for a little while.
We're not coming back.
So no wasps this time. And the cable that may finally be in the 21st century. Here's hoping. Till the next, you know, big new technology that I'm going to be horribly out of date dealing with. We will talk about a different kind of dysfunction. That would be the shutdown of the federal government. That's coming up in just a moment. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Village of Roberts is turning 150, and you're invited to the Main Street Celebration this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's something for everyone, from live music, great food and cold drinks, to kids' sack races, old-fashioned playground games, and juggling shows. Local businesses join the fun, too, with bed races, quilting and weaving demos, a historical scavenger hunt, and special window displays lining Main Street. Come celebrate 150 years of Roberts Pride this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right on Main Street.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway, and from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays. Pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once again, coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll meet Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor here at Up North News. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We love this partnership weekday mornings from 6 to 9, and we want to make sure that our friends at Civic Media know how much we appreciate that, including making sure you know that we want you signing up for their newsletter as well as ours, Civic Media Today. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com. for all kinds of little news notes, links to show highlights, and much more. Of course, we've got not just the weekday newsletter that Ellie puts together, but I've got one on Sunday mornings that has a focus on politics rather than just Wisconsin features that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com. It includes our question of the week, which you've heard me mention before, is, you know, who's going to cave? How is this government shutdown going to end? You know, for example, the last time there was a government shutdown, it ran for 35 days. There was a lot of inconvenience. It cost the economy a lot. It was extremely expensive, extremely unnecessary, and Donald Trump forced that one as well. It was back in 2019, and he got nothing by the time it was all said and done. He made some kind of symbolic claim of victory, but he shut things down because he was demanding more money for building a wall at the border. He brought so much disruption to people's lives for his little pet project, rather than, you know, embracing comprehensive immigration reform, which would have improved border security and helped make sure that people can be processed, come to this country and work and feel safe and secure and not feel like masked secret police are going to beat them and round them up, which is hardly what you want for America 2025. So how does this one end? Because again, the Republicans took away more than $1 trillion in Medicaid. They're going to jack up everybody's health insurance premiums later this year. Even if you don't get your insurance off the Affordable Care Act marketplace, chances are you're going to see a premium hike as well to help offset the increased health care costs of what Republicans did. So Democrats are saying, look, if you want to pass a federal budget and you can't agree amongst yourselves and you need our vote, here's our price. Put some of these health care cuts back. And of course, Trump and Republicans saying no, they would like to keep those cuts, and they are happy shutting down the government and inflicting pain. They were willing to do it in 2019. They're willing to do it now. So we're in a case of who blinks first, which is completely unnecessary, foolish, and juvenile. But again, as I say, the people who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. And we're getting that proved once again. It is not the, let me say another thing about that. There were a couple of votes yesterday in the Senate about trying to, you know, avoid a government shutdown. And there was a proposal by Democrats that said, look, we will go along with reopening the government if you extend the Affordable Care Act subsidies that are set to expire at the end of this year. And of course, the Republicans voted along party lines. No. So they are on record saying they want health insurance to cost more next year. There's also things like the National Park Service says they're going to keep the parks largely open, even though there are a lot of concerns about damage and overflowing garbage cans and toilets and things like that that happened during the last government shutdown. Trump also says he'd love to see more federal job cuts, not just furloughs, but actually firing people. And he said, when asked about that, he said, well, they're going to be Democrats anyway. I mean, what a point of view to have on your fellow Americans is to say, well, if you're working for the federal government to help and serve other people, you must be a Democrat. Not that that's an insult, but again, talk about a broad sweeping generalization and somebody who could not care less if government functions properly or not. But by the way, not the only instance where you have Republicans trying to blame Democrats for damage that they're causing. Earlier this month came the end of some facilities for homeless veterans, one of them here in Chippewa Falls. And as a result, that one and the other in Green Bay, they closed officially on September 12th. They, you know, from the budget money ran out for it yesterday. And there's a story behind this. Governor Evers did allocate $1.9 million in his budget request to keep the program running. Republicans didn't want to put $1.9 million into it. So you know how every time they take Governor Evers' budget and they just trash it, they zero out everything and then they write their own budget? Well, they never wrote anything in for that line. They never replaced the $1.9 million with maybe, say, a smaller amount. Give a listen to State Senator Dianne Hesselbein, the Senate Democratic leader, as she explains not only that Republicans in the legislature refused two other attempts to put it in, but that Congressman Derek Van Orden could have maybe requested federal funds for this as well.
There also was a lane for Congressman Van Orden to get this done on the federal level. He could have requested the funds needed to keep the facility in Chippewa Falls open, but he didn't, which is surprising given his made-up involvement with our state budget to begin with. He could actually have done something and proven to be a winner, but he didn't. He did nothing. We are here fighting for our veterans. We were ready to vote on this in joint finance. We were ready to vote on the amendment that came to the floor, and we are still standing strong on these standalone bills. We can get this done. We are willing to work together. Not only that, we want to work together. But unfortunately, it's the Republicans' decision to vote these efforts down, to close these facilities, and to turn their backs on Wisconsin veterans. That has been their choice and their solution.
And it was seconded by Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger of the Green Bay area, who again loves to put out the press releases attacking Governor Evers, saying, well, he could have just moved the money from some other pot into that. it's not that easy, and he knows that. He knows the legislature would have to approve any kind of fund transfer like that. So rather than that, why not own up to your mistake and vote, have a clean vote on putting the money back into homeless veterans rather than playing politics with it? It just makes no sense. But then again, I've watched, and for some people, it seems to make perfect sense to them. Today's history lesson starts with a little Johnny Carson. After this, you're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.5 WLAK.
Coming up, we're diving into the heart of the grain markets. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Wednesday. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, joins us with a powerful insight. Corn demand isn't just steady, it's exceptionally strong.
The 2025-26 marketing year is the best start to the to corn export program that we've ever had. It eclipsed the 2020-21 program year with the strong sale pace. And what's interesting about that is in 2021, China bought 48% of that corn. And we're doing that this year without any Chinese purchases on the corn side either. So again, it just shows you how things kind of shifted on the global demand as China moved its business elsewhere. Other importers have stepped up and really bought U.S. corn in a strong clip.
John Heinberg along with us. He's a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Stick around for a look at how markets finished yesterday after this.
At Steffes Auctioneers, we don't just sell, we guide. Knowing what your equipment or land is worth isn't just a number, it's clarity. It's the first step in making smart decisions for your future. That's why we offer honest, market-based valuations with no pressure to sell. Just insight you can trust. Start with the conversation or start with the valuation. Steffes Auctioneers. We don't just sell, we guide. Not sure where to start? Let's talk. Visit steffesgroup.com right now. That's steffesgroup.com.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504. Innovation.
On the close yesterday from Chicago, corn prices pulled back as USDA found a few more bushels than the trade had expected in their latest report. December corn down 6 cents at 415.5. Soybeans also easing lower despite some tighter stocks numbers. November soybeans down 8.75 cents at 10.01¾. Cash wheat closed 11.5 cents lower at 508 a bushel. July 2026 new crop wheat down 9 cents at 551¾. The 40-pound block cheese continued its higher trend, closing up a nickel and a half at $1.72. When cheese closed, the October Class 3 milk contract was trading up 24 cents at 17.23 a hundredweight. The November Class 3 milk contract trading up 26 cents at 16.89 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.5 WLAK.
It is going to be another partly cloudy, warm day today. Our high right around 79 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little breezier with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talked to Darren Von Rudin in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
From beautiful downtown Burbank, it's the Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson took over as host of NBC's Tonight Show on this day in 1962. And that theme there, which became ubiquitous with 10:30, 10:35 weeknights, was originally written by Paul Anka for Johnny Carson. Let's see, we've got another TV note here, and I wish we had our friend Dan Hagen from Channel 12 and Rhinelander, because it's their anniversary today.
Really? Wow.
Happy anniversary to WJFW, Newswatch 12. Signed on this day in 1966 with the call letters WAEO.
Wow.
I don't know if that was supposed to stand for something, but they're now WJFW.
Well, does JFW stand for something?
I don't know.
And see, this is one of life's many questions in media, is what do our letters mean?
Yes. And so now we've got to ring up Dan Hagen or talk to him next week about this. Maybe pop quiz, see if he even knows. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
I bet he doesn't. I don't know. I don't have a clue what WMDX is.
Well, Madison. That's like an airport abbreviation type thing.
Oh, is the...
Something like that.
I assumed it was Madison or something.
Let's see. Walt Disney World opened this day in 1971, so 54 years ago today. And then in 1982, Epcot opened at Disney. Epcot standing for the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. What is your Disney World Epcot history?
Some could say it is nada.
Some could say, so no, you've never been.
Never been, no.
Never been, okay, all right.
Have you been?
So no Disney World, no It's a Small World, no Cinderella's Castle, no Epcot, no. Okay.
Did you get the kids down there or anything?
We took our girls there in the early 90s when they were 4 and 6 years old, and it was as magical as you would expect. And then a couple of years back, my younger daughter took their kids when they were like 3 and 6 or 2 and 5, something like that. So the younger one won't have many memories of it, but they had a lot of fun while they were there.
Sure.
You know. And it's funny when you spend that kind of money and you take the kids to Disney World, and the things that they like, you know, are the things that didn't really cost anything, you know. Like
that's
one of the hotels had like a little sandy beach area, and the sandy beach was the thing that they really liked. You know, it's like you remember Mickey Mouse was there too, right? Okay. Anyway. Tony says that Epcot was the least interesting of the different kingdoms. The Animal Kingdom was amazing. Yeah, there's all these. And then, of course, now you've got the non-Disney option of Universal Studios in all of their parks. Yeah. And so there is so much to see there. And again, it all started with Disney World opening this day in 1971. The Beach Boys released their first album, Surf and Safari, on this day in 1962.
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me now. Surf, surf. With
they got a little better.
I was going to say, this doesn't...
This was their initial entry into the music world with Surfing. Look at this from my good friend Melissa Schrader. Says, Pat, WAEO stands for former Congressman Alvin E. Okonski.
Oh!
That makes perfect sense now.
There we go.
Thank you, Melissa. That's awesome. Let's see. The Bradley Center in Milwaukee opened on this day in 1988 and would operate as the Bradley Center till 2018. On this day in 1908, Ford offered the Model T automobile for a price of $825. So back in 1908, $825 would get you a brand new Model T right off the assembly line. It's poor Parker. Money means nothing to him now. These numbers are so different.
Yeah. Wow.
Happy birthday to actress Julie Andrews. She is 90 years old today.
High on a hill was a lonely goatherd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay, hee-hoo. Loud was the voice of the lonely goatherd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay.
I guess I could have had her do the title theme from The Sound of Music, but, you know, a lot of folks know her from that, and gosh, so many other movies along the way as well. Let's see, Zach Galifianakis is 56 years old today. Actress Brie Larson is 36. The late Donny Hathaway, the singer, was born this day in 1945, passed away in 1979. You of a certain age, you know, my age, will be familiar with Peaches and Herb. Here was their big hit, Reunited. There we go. This is the birthday for the Herb of Peaches and Herb. Herbert Feimster is 83 years old today. Now, the thing with Peaches and Herb is that Herb's always been there. But there's been more than one peach for her.
Well, they go bad eventually.
Seven different women have filled the role of Peaches. And since he started the little group in 1966. Right here, we're hearing Linda Green. She is the third of the seven Peaches. And it's with her that they had their big hits, Reunited. And, of course, Shake Your Groove Thing. Shake Your Groove Thing. Yeah, yeah. On this day in 1975, the Thrilla in Manila, Muhammad Ali defeated Joe Frazier in their third and final boxing match. Frazier failed to win back his heavyweight title, conceding after the 14th round. Now, back then, you didn't get to see major events like that live on TV. You could go to, like, sports arenas and do pay-per-view, and it would be put up on a massive screen.
Oh.
But then it would be on TV, like, a week or two later.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I don't get into Ultimate Fighting today or even boxing is having grown up watching Muhammad Ali. It's like, I mean, there's just nobody. Nobody's going to be better. Nobody. And it was just to watch him as a boxer was to watch, you know, the poetry of that sport. And I know there's a lot about boxing being violent and everything else. But if you're going to watch it, you watch those fights. On this day in 1982, Donald Fagen of Steely Dan released his solo album, The Nightfly. On this day in 1903, the first game of the modern World Series as the Boston Americans would play the Pittsburgh Pirates. The number one song this day in 1983 was by Bonnie Tyler.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you never come.
Now that made Bonnie Tyler the first singer from Wales to top the charts. It was one of so many epic songs that were written by the late Jimmy Steinman. And I believe we'll talk more about Jimmy Steinman in a week or two in the history lesson, because he had all the Bat Out of Hell and Paradise by the Dashboard Light, all these other epic songs, and Total Eclipse of the Heart was one of them. All right, kind of a melancholy anniversary note to share. It was on this day 8 years ago that a gunman opened fire in Las Vegas during Jason Aldean's set at the Route 91 Harvest Festival from his suite across the way at the Mandalay Bay Hotel. He would shoot nearly 500 people, wounding 413 people, killing 60 in the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. Again, he shot about 500 people after firing more than 1,000 rounds. And it was in large part because of something called bump stocks. And for a time in the wake of that shooting, there was a ban on bump stocks, but the conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court last year struck it down, as we have certain politicians, including those in judges' robes, who continue to choose mass murderers over public safety. All right, there's everything that's on the anniversary calendar. Let's look at things on the national day calendar for today. I don't have Bonnie Tyler here in my CD collection, but this is National CD Player Day.
It is.
And so during the last break, when I saw that, Parker, I went over, I've got a cabinet that we never open, and that's where all the CDs are. And so I just grabbed a fistful. This is a representative sample of the CDs that haven't been played in years. So
is
we've got
still on any of them.
ZZ Top Greatest Hits.
ZZ Top,
got
nice.
That with your classic, you know, model on the back who's posing for no reason whatsoever.
Of course.
Here's The Police and Synchronicity, one of my favorite albums of the late 1980s. Here's Prince's Greatest Hits Volume 1 is on there. Oh, here's a great one.
Oh, boy.
Bonnie Raitt, Nick of Time. Absolutely, if this is not in your record collection, get Bonnie Raitt's Nick of Time from 1992, I believe. And, here's a Lionel Richie Greatest Hits one called Back to Front on there. There's so many. If I started rattling all these off, all the things in the CD collection, my doorbell would ring at some point, and I would be escorted to the old folks' home and say, "Okay, Grandpa, that's great. Take your CDs with you.
Reel it
you
in."
Know? Yep, exactly. So this is National CD Player Day. This is National Walk Your Dog Week. I don't have a dog to walk. I do have a neighbor's dog that I walk occasionally. Has a lot of spirit, and I'm afraid it's going to pull our elderly neighbor down. So I tried to go wear out some of the energy on that little furball. Today is Pumpkin Seed Day. You like pumpkin seeds roasted?
I don't know if I've ever had pumpkin seeds, to be honest with you. I've never been a big pumpkin guy.
Okay. I do. I do like them roasted. I just haven't had them for quite a while, so I might have to change that. And this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and again, we say it all the time, we can't say it enough, to get all of your screenings done, whether it's for breast cancer or let's just say all the things. All the things that could take you out, is go do that. I had my follow-up with the sleep specialist yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
About the CPAP machine.
Seeing a lot of improvement, huh?
Yes, very much so. You know, your CPAP machine, like everything else in the world, talks to the internet. And so that's what it does. It sends data back to wherever, and she looked it all up, and it's like, oh, you're doing really good. You're breathing and everything else, and that's fine. But again, it troubles me a bit that my CPAP machine is connected to the internet. And, you know, these internet devices are all the time listening to you. So what are the odds that my CPAP machine hears me talking in my sleep, and next thing I know, there's an Amazon package the next day for something I didn't even know I needed, but it came up in my dreams.
I think it's listening to your dreams, Pat. That's what I'm
That's what I'm
about.
Saying. And if it listens to my dreams, what's it going to order?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What are you dreaming about?
Well, that's just it. I'm one of those who I don't know.
You don't know.
You wake up and for a split second, you're sure you remember everything. And then it's like, it just all goes, and there's nothing.
It's
rare. Cannot bring it back.
It's rare I even get that. I barely ever remember anything at all about my dreams. Uh-huh.
I know. And other people, it's like, you know, color TV. You know, they just, everything. They can remember every little detail. And what ends up happening to me now and then is, again, Sherry will be talking about something, and I'll just blurt out, oh my gosh, I had a dream about that. And I'll tell her about some stupid dream. And she'll look at me for interrupting her like, I am going to drive you to the old folks' home right now and just be done with you. But I just wanted to share the dream because it's so rare that it finally comes in.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
I'm so easily entertained here. Still ahead. Parker's going to give us some of his entertainment news stories for the day. That'll be coming up. And then in our 7 o'clock hour, we will be talking with Ellie Bordeaux. She is the new newsletter editor for Up North News. She's from Oconomowoc, and she joined us just a few weeks ago. And we figure she's had enough orientation at this time, so it's time for the hazing to begin, which includes having to make an appearance on this radio show. And I have a feeling she'll pass the audition, and you'll see her or hear her on most Wednesdays. So that'll be along the way here. Of course, in our 8 o'clock hour, Earl Ingram will tell us what's going on as part of the What's Going On podcast that he does through Civic Media. Melissa Baldoff will talk about the Trump administration announcement on Monday that they're going all in on greatly expanding America's use of coal. Okay. And then big announcement at 8:30 about the 7th Congressional District and somebody who may be running for Congress from here up north. No, Tony, it's not me. Live from the lake, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Read. reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
The WLAK Go for the Green and Gold text win contest is powered by Amory Chevrolet. Lifetime warranty, trusted service, hometown values. Amory Chevrolet, where people matter most.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son. Joe Schwabba, do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30 seconds.
Right now.
What does the Fox say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what does the Fox say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's
songs.
Another one? Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can check out the new video series, Raising Wisconsin, from pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks at the Up North News Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok pages. Some great healthcare advice and little news tidbits from Dr. Kelly Snooks. Check that out again on Up North News social media for the Raising Wisconsin series. Just about 6:53 right now, and as always, Parker Olson, our intrepid entertainment and features reporter, is scouring through the interwebs for what he thinks is going to be the quintessential story, the water cooler story that you'll be talking about. Like, for example, what is a water cooler? Nobody gathers around those anymore. It's all just a metaphor these days. So where do you go? What do you guys got out there? You got a box of donuts, I guess, that you guys stand around and talk, right?
We have a water cooler, Pat.
That's true. There actually is a water cooler at Civic Media right outside the conference room there. That's right.
Yeah.
There's a water cooler. Yay us.
I know that you're used to working at home.
For the old man. But... All right. Yes. It goes glug, glug, glug and everything.
It does go glug, yeah. Glug, glug.
Mm-hmm. So as you all down there stand around outside of Studio A1 and discuss the world, what do you got for us? What are we talking about?
I will be discussing the Clemente. It's a sports documentary about the great Puerto Rican baseball player Roberto Clemente.
Oh, okay.
I have yet to watch it yet, but it is streaming right now on History Channel. I didn't know that you could stream stuff on their website, but I guess you can.
You can stream everything everywhere, it seems. I mean, my goodness.
This is true.
I mean, come on. This show is streaming. Everybody gets a stream. You get a stream. The middle-aged man, not so much. Go see your doctor first. But everybody else gets a stream. Roberto Clemente, of course, the baseball player who had just gotten 3,000 hits, if memory serves, and was helping deliver earthquake relief supplies to Nicaragua when he died in a plane crash and was gone far too soon. And it was all about somebody who was truly destined to become one of the all-time greats, not just on the field, but as you can tell, off the field as well.
Yeah. So the documentary talks about his life both on and off the field. And one of the executive producers is LeBron James.
Okay, that makes sense. Yep.
Does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yes,
okay.
It does. Oh, yeah. He's been branching into entertainment. And that is definitely a topic that people in this day and age need to know more about. You know, he doesn't have the name recognition that he used to have. So I'm glad to hear that. So, again, look for the sports documentary. Clemente is the name of it. So how's Dolly Parton's health? What's this about her canceling a show?
It's kind of vague. They haven't given a lot of details, but she had I believe they were in Vegas. She was supposed to have some shows and they were canceled. Apparently she just has some health procedures that she needs to do to take care of herself, but that's kind of all that there is on that.
She's a 79-year-old woman.
Well, yeah.
I mean, my mom is 79 and I cannot think that she would be taking to the stage in Vegas and doing a full show. So I really hope she gets better. I hope whatever she's got has her back on the mend and has her performing again real soon.
Yeah.
So get better soon, Dolly. I love this fuss about a story that you're bringing me about an actress, the latest hot new actress. And people are very unhappy with this hot new actress, Parker.
They are. Tilly Norwood. She's AI.
She's not real.
She's not
an actual actress.
Yeah, not an actual actress.
So what's your story? Where did she come from?
She came from, I don't have the name of the person, but it was invented by a Dutch actor, also a director, also a physicist, apparently, which is a weird combination. And so it was created by that Dutch person, and apparently acting agencies are going after the AI actress to have in like movies and stuff. And as you would imagine, Hollywood actual actors are not happy.
No, they're not, because part of the last writer's strike dealt with AI and again making sure that entertainment is done, you know, by artists, by actual human actors and actresses. And so now there's real backlash here, including a statement from the Screen Actors Guild that says creativity is and should remain human-centered. To be clear, Tilly Norwood is not an actor. It's a character generated by a computer program that was trained on the work of countless professional performers without permission or compensation. It has no life experience to draw upon. It has no emotion. And from what we've seen, audiences aren't interested in watching computer-generated content untethered from the human experience. Well, I'm not sure that last part is true.
I think
people will definitely watch things that are AI-generated. But the part in the middle, I hope people caught, because you can't have AI without the computers being able to go back and grab other things that have been digitized, movies, TV shows, human voices, and all of that. And it's to that end that, I mean, in some ways, with permission, some people's likenesses can last forever. You know, I think James Earl Jones's estate, you know, license his voice. And so now you can make him say anything, but you got to have the license to do it. But if you're just grabbing stuff off the internet and these actors, actresses, animators, everybody else, if they haven't been properly compensated, then the law should have something to say about that.
It's crazy to me how, I suppose this was almost 10 years ago or so now, when Rogue One, the Star Wars movie, they had a digital version of the actor who's since
passed away, the Death Star there. Yes.
And that was like, I don't know if we should be doing that. And now, like, AI, go, boom. Like, really?
Again, We're not getting rid of it. And so it really is just a matter of where are the guardrails? Where are the things that just because you can do it, it doesn't mean that it's right to do it. If somebody isn't being fairly compensated, or if you're using it to, well, the way Donald Trump was using AI videos over the weekend, you know, to put a sombrero on Hakeem Jeffries and make Chuck Schumer say words that he didn't say, you know, so you're adding racism and lying to videos from the president of the United States. So yeah, Tilly Norwood, if you want to appear in Donald Trump commercials, that's your business, but let's get you licensed from the people who actually inspired whatever it is you are, because what you are ain't real. More after the 7 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is closed. Roughly 750,000 federal workers expected to be furloughed without pay, some potentially fired by the Trump administration. Some things are still open, says ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
National parks are open for now, but could face staff shortages. The Smithsonian will be open until at least October 6th. And in 1 week, that critical WIC program, which gives nutrition assistance to 7 million low-income women and their children, is set to run out of funding.
President Trump's immigration crackdown and some public health work at the FDA and the Department of Agriculture will continue during the shutdown. Rescuers are using backhoes and sniffer dogs to try to find more survivors in the central Philippines following an earthquake that has left at least 69 people dead. President Trump proposing using American cities as training grounds for U.S. troops. That part of the new Trump administration culture for the military laid out before hundreds of generals this week. This is ABC News.
You're listening.